Hey, welcome back to Total Disruption. I am Dr. Jake Clendenning on behalf of the Michael Labersi. Here this week with a special guest for this one, Joshua Altman with Beltway Media. We wanted to have a conversation. Josh has been a great fan of the show, and we really appreciate him being able to come on and just share some non-Jake and Mike knowledge with you to be able to grow your business, grow your person. So Josh, would you go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell the audience who you are.
Thanks for having me. I am Joshua Altman, Managing Director of Beltway Media. I'm based in the DC area, if the name of our firm doesn't give it away a little bit. I started my career as a journalist, worked at the Hill newspaper. I was a congressional news producer doing video, multimedia, web. I left that for a couple years thinking I'd go back to a newsroom after being a freelance reporter. And I never went back to a newsroom. I now do this.
Okay. Never. So I gotta ask, right? There's the Hill, working in that media space, right? In DC, doing congressional work. I mean, how intense is that as a reporter? You always see it from the front of the room, right? And you see the reporters kind of grilling whoever's at the front of the room. But how intense is that to operate as a media person in the back end?
It can get intense. What you see on TV of all the reporters walking down the hallway, that really does happen. That happens multiple times a day, every day, you know, the pushing and shoving. It's a lot of organized chaos in some regards, but it's a great experience to have. I'm extremely glad I did it because I learned a lot, both on the technical skills, on the communication skills, but also just in the general business, working with people in different types of situations. Skills, because you're thrown into a lot.
Yeah, no, I could see that being incredibly volatile. I mean, it's not I would call this a simple interview, right? This is a coffee side, fireside chat style thing that you and I are having. That's not that circumstance. That's not that situation. So I could see that being really something. So you made the choice to leave that space and kind of go out and do freelance stuff for a while and then maybe go back. And now you're running your own firm. So this is one of those spaces. We love the entrepreneurial journey. Love it. I mean, it's what Mike and I are built on. So like, talk to me a little bit about something happened, something catalyzed your decision-making process in, I can do more good for the world here than I can there. So like, what was going on at what time that brought you to Beltway Media?
It was a complete accident.
I don't believe that's true.
I mean, it was a series of events. It wasn't planned. You know, like I said, I thought I would be a freelance reporter for a few years and go back to a newsroom. While I was looking for freelance reporting jobs, I also took corporate jobs with people, with businesses, mostly small and medium businesses. And they were looking for this unique combination of skills. They were looking for someone with video, and I had been a video producer. They were looking for someone with writing skills, with content skills, with just the social management type of skills, all things that I brought together. And over time, I really saw the need for this service, for this kind of niche to be filled with small, medium businesses, with startups, with people who don't want or can't afford tens of thousands a month retainer with a giant PR firm, but still need these services done, still need the work done at their business. And that's how ultimately we landed on this fractional chief communications officer role, where you're seeing chief communications officers really growing at Fortune 500s, at major sports franchises, at really giant corporations. But these smaller businesses also need it. In many cases, they need it more because they don't have the giant infrastructure of marketing teams and investor relations teams and branding teams that those businesses have. They really need someone in a leadership role, quarterbacking this, really being that communications person. When we come in, it's a lot of presidents doing it. It's a lot of founders doing it. You know, if you work with law, healthcare, and finance, you have a lot of, you know, sole practitioners in those spaces who are kind of doing it all themselves. And they don't want to. They want to do what they're doing, which is why we say we're the expert at communicating your expertise. You do what you're the expert at. We're the expert.
I like that. Yeah, I like that a lot. And we talk about that all the time, right? If you're doing something you're not the expert at, you're doing it for cheap, right? when it comes right down to it, and it's, yes, you're going to hear a lot of people say, well, I just don't have the budget for that. I don't have the monetary budget to do it, to really grow that presence. And we know at this point, I don't think it's negotiable. I think you've got to find it. Because if you do not have the same, you're not going to have the same presence as like a Budweiser, right? I'm just thinking of a large corporation or Nike or whoever it's going to be. That's massive brand recognition. You're not going to have that presence right away. We get that. But you've got to show up like you do, in my opinion. You've got to show up like you do. And I can't write that copy. I can't possibly, produce those videos. There's certain things I can do. But again, to your point, I'm the president, I'm the CEO, I'm the visionary. My time is better spent doing something else, plain and simple. And we can look at it either as a expense, which I think a lot of business owners do, right? Well, I got to pay somebody. It's an expense for them to build this brand package, to build this awareness package. It's not, it's an investment in your business. You've got to switch your brain from saying it's an expense, because it's not. It is a, I don't even want to call it a necessary evil, right? It is a necessary piece of your business, plain and simple. It is necessary. So like, what are you doing? In your, like you said, you're dealing with a lot of startups and small to medium sized businesses, and you're dealing with some large businesses like we do as well. How are you helping them switch that flip as this fractional chief communication officer?
The fractional really helps them make that switch, because we can come in and we could be there 5 hours a month if you're really early stage, if you're small, or we could grow with you from that 5 hours a month to 20 hours a week. It's whatever you need at that stage. And that really addresses that budget concern that a lot of these businesses have, because they're thinking, they see big, even medium PR firms with these large retainers, the tens of thousands of dollars a month. And they're thinking, we're never going to use that. They're also looking at, well, we could bring someone in-house, but I'm only doing this 5 to 10 hours a week. We don't need a 40-hour a week full-time employee. That's where we're sitting, is in between those two. We are fractional. We are just like you have an in-house employee. We're there like an in-house employee, but instead of, a 100% 40-hour week, we're 5 hours a month, 20 hours a week, whatever it is you need. And that really helps them mentally make that change, because that's really the first step, is I can't afford it, to there's a different model out there where it makes financial sense for us.
Agreed. So there's the other thing to think about, and you brought this up as far as and I have heard this so many times, we're just going to hire somebody to come work in-house. They're going to design our website. They're going to run our social media. They're going to do all this stuff, and we're going to pay them 40 hours a week. Sure, maybe you've got the budget for their salary. What'd you forget? You forgot about all the production equipment. You forgot about all the software requirements, all the subscription requirements. There is a huge amount of tools that person is going to need to come in-house, because if you had all the tools and somebody vacated the seat, that's one thing, right? But odds are good you don't have the tools for the person you're going to hire full-time to come in. And there's still this, it's such dangerous thinking anymore. I hear this frequently too. All I have to do is get a really good website, and people will just flow in. That's how the funnel works. I'll build a really great funnel on the website and people will get there. I personally do not see that ever working. It's multifaceted. There's a chip
missing.
It
might have worked at one point, 20 years ago. It's not having the same success rate in 2026.
Not at all. No.
You need to get people there through multiple avenues. That could be traditional search, although we're seeing that decline mm-hmm. over time now. It's now less important. AI search is becoming a lot more important. How you rank there, thankfully, they have a lot in common. in part because the AI searches look at how well you do already in other areas. Websites that do well on a Google search tend to also do well, again, not across the board, but that's how these algorithms appear to be working. But ads, you're not getting those same organic hits you used to. You need to pay. You need to have ads. And even then, if you're using Google as an example, it is the main search engine that most of us are using. The AI search comes first. Most people are now clicking on that. I find myself doing it, which opens up the AI results. And then you're not even seeing the ads anymore. If you do get to the ads, even below that are the organic results. It's a lot further down if all you have is that great findable website. So you need to be across the board. There are people running their whole businesses on TikTok. That's something we typically advise against. You don't want to be too deep in one platform that you are 100% reliant on it. Platforms come and go. TikTok almost went. It almost hurt. We saw the commercials for it. They were running them. That how my whole business is on TikTok. It's how I raised my kids. It's everything to me. But that could shut down tomorrow if they wanted to. Facebook could shut down Instagram or Facebook or their whole ecosystem tomorrow if they wanted to, which is why being completely embedded in that carries a lot of risk, which is why we don't recommend doing it. But you need to be on as many different things as makes sense, not as possible, as makes sense for you and your business.
So define that a little bit more, because I think that's really profound. Not as possible as makes sense. So different platforms have different purposes and different platforms have different audiences. So how are you helping your clients as this CCO? How are you helping them understand, you know, maybe they're an accounting firm, making things up, mind you guys. My audience is very familiar. I just make scenarios up as we go along. They understand. So let's assume this is an accounting firm and they are posting everything they do on Facebook. They are just embedded and ingrained on Facebook. Now, I can tell you right now, that's not their audience. Like I'm making this up on purpose. How are you helping them understand you can't take the same content you're creating on Facebook and just start to populate these other spots, because that doesn't work either. You know, we know that for facts. So how are you building the strategy out for them? You know, and it can be, and you can give us an example of one of the businesses you're using. You don't have to use the random accountant. You know, how are you helping these guys build out a long-term strategy that converts? You know, that's the key. They want revenue. They need conversions. It's not just about likes and clicks anymore.
If you're that accounting firm, we're actually seeing now is a lot of B2B sales, especially smaller ones, are on Facebook. They're coming from that Facebook source. Because yes, you are a B2B service, you're a B2B firm, but the people who are buying it are also people and they're on Facebook and they see your ad and they click, or they see your content and they click. Remember that the old metric was it takes 7 to 14 touch points for someone to make a decision. Who knows if that was ever true? That was, you know, wisdom going back forever.
I think that was Dan Kennedy stuff. That was way back Dan Kennedy stuff, as I recall.
And I don't think that's where it even originated. It goes way back. And at least the idea of it goes way back. And you have now, I think it's more. It might be 7, 14, 21, or even higher. So if you're on Facebook and you're getting people everywhere that they are, that's good. You want to get people in as many places as makes sense. We use two main frameworks. The first one is our story, narrative, and brand framework. And that's just how we think about the business and what you're communicating and what you do. A lot of people think about brand and branding and come to us when they're at the brand stage. If you are an existing business, you've been around for more than 6 months, you're at the brand stage. But you really need to start about this at the story stage. Story, it has things. It has character, situation, setting, beginning, middle, present. We don't say the end. You're still here. You're still telling this story. It's what you tell your friends sitting at the bar, that version of the story. It's the stuff that happened. Narrative, it answers questions. It's what we're saying about who we are. It's how we want people to think about these interconnected stories. It's the things we want people to conclude. And brand is, it's the swag, which is a really broad way of saying the stuff stakeholders connect with. Everything people touch, they see, they hear, all of it, that is part of the brand. Your logo is part of it. Your website's part of it. Your pens are part of it. You do podcasts, that's all part of it. Anything people engage with. The other one I just touched on with brand, and that is our four languages model, what people read, see, hear, and experience. And we're going to look at what you're already doing in that area. And then we're going to see if it makes sense. So if you're on Facebook and you have a lot there, if you're this accounting firm, that's what people are reading. That's what people are seeing and they're experiencing it on Facebook. People understand read pretty easily. People understand see is what you see with your eyes pretty easily. Here, that's a lot of podcasts, but also we're seeing investments into, if you're in physical retail, a lot of investments into in-store audio. And taking that, you know, you might have found stores had one playlist that they played across their stores everywhere. Making that personal to each store, having different sets of speakers across parts of the store, really changing that buying experience in the store for each person where you can. Because what you're going to hear at one section might not be what you hear at the other. And that goes to experience, which a lot of people think is experiential events. It is. But it's also that you're reading and seeing this accounting firm's content on Facebook, that you're hearing the playlist in the accountant's firm's waiting area. All of that goes to the experience of it. And that's how we're going to see. So if you're getting all of that on Facebook, is it converting? Maybe. Is it doing it as well as it could? Maybe not. And we'll show you. Here are examples of other firms in your area doing well and how they break stuff down and are on different platforms and how they're changing stuff across those platforms. Because how you talk and how you get that out on Facebook isn't necessarily going to be the same as your own channel on your website. It might not be the same as a Substack. But you might be talking about those same themes. And that's where we talk a lot about repurposing content. You do not have to come up with something original for each thing. You do not have to start from scratch. If you have one idea, take it, rewrite it, repurpose it, recraft it for each of those platforms. You will go crazy trying to do it from scratch every time. Don't do that.
And we've all done it. Every founder, you know, everybody has done it. Everybody said, okay, well, I'm going to record. I'm guilty, right? I've done it. I've recorded a Facebook video, then done a LinkedIn video, then done a YouTube video, and da-da-da-da-da-da. And it's maddening, right? And tried to be the copywriter for each one of those things. We've got tools. We've got firms. We have the resources available to us that we can say, okay, I'm just going to give Joshua a call. Over Beltway Media, because I would lose my mind trying to do this. And I know I need to diversify in my business. And I know I need to have Nike presence, plain and simple. That's what my goal is. I want Nike presence without the Nike budget. That's usually where everybody's at with that. So it's totally true. So like, what are you seeing right now? We're going to, I'll use the hated, you know, what are you seeing with AI question? We'll roll this one out there. But how are you embracing it? Like, how are you going faster, utilizing the tools that are available to you, the resources that are available to you, that maybe the client's not embracing? What are you guys doing to go faster?
AI is definitely part of it. It's a tool. It's good for certain things. It's not good for other things. And it's all in the hands of the person using it. You know, if you gave me a hammer, maybe if you're lucky, you'll get some crooked birdhouse a bird doesn't even want to look at. You give a master craftsman a hammer, you'll get a structurally sound, great-looking home that families will live in for 100 years or more. We both had a hammer. He actually knows how to use it. I maybe get a crooked birdhouse. But that's why it's all in how you use the tool and knowing how to use it. If you're relying on AI to churn out dozens of pieces of content a day for every platform, it'll do it. It will. It won't be particularly good, and it won't be memorable for people. It won't pick up in the way you want it to. if you use that as a starting point, it's really good for outlines. It's really good for research. And if you use it like that to get you going, to give you something to work off of, that can really make a difference. Because like I said, you don't have to do everything from scratch. People say, well, what if we repeat a post? What if we repeat an idea? What if we have done this already? We don't want to do it again. Do it again. Good. I mean, there's only so much an accounting firm's going to talk about. It's all going to be mostly about accounting and finance and businesses if you're doing B2B accounting. It's not going to be anything too crazy or too different. They're not going to be talking about athletic footwear like they're Nike. But if someone notices, because that's a concern we hear, well, someone might notice. Good. That means they're paying attention and engaging with your stuff. Mm-hmm. Let them notice. That means you've done something right and they are actively following you. Use it.
Yeah. Use it. Absolutely. And here's the reality check on that one. If you've got, call it 5,000 friends on Facebook, because that seems to be a lot of people's limits, right? You got 5,000 friends and you put out one post. Can you make the broad assumption that all 5,000 of those people saw that post? No, they didn't. It's not even plausible with the algorithm. It can't be done.
The algorithm shows your post to a very, very small subset of your followers initially. And then it determines, do we show this more? It, making that choice based off of a very small sample of your followers, it will not go to everyone. Even if it decides to show it more, it will not go to all 5,000. It will go to still some subset, but also as those people engage, it'll go to their followers who are your second degree, your third degree, your nth degree eventually because of engagement. But 5,000 followers does not mean 5,000 pairs of eyeballs on this.
No, it does not. Totally. So let's, in the last couple of minutes here, let's talk. I want to define engagement. So we've heard that that's not, you know, what do they need to be doing? Obviously, sure. We want engagement to be click on the call to action, buy the widget, do the thing, buy the course, you know, plug in and do. That's ultimately the goal, right? Is we want them to do the thing to create revenue. It's all good. And any engagement is still good engagement. In my, you know, unless somebody's just really posting super negative stuff. But that also gives you an opportunity to come out there and have a conversation with them and get some clarity. Use it 100%. I've seen a lot of people just immediately go in there and delete those. I think it's a terrible idea. I think it's a great opportunity for you to flex and demonstrate you being a human. Hey, I appreciate your point of view. Tell me more. Right. I think that's a great space. And that's where we get to
do it. And especially if you are in home services or you rely on your Google and Yelp pages, they count in to your ranking and where you show up. Are you responsive as a business? That factors into it. So if that is something where you get a lot of your business from, you need to be responsive.
Yep. And that's where a lot of people are the cheating of I've got AI running all my ads and everything, but they're not going back into social media or having somebody do it and make sure you're being responsive. Make sure you're thanking the people that are liking it, saying, hey, thanks for the comment. Go engage, right? Go be. What was Facebook originally built for? Let's go way back to social media. It was built to be able to share pictures and life events with friends and family. What was originally designed? Well, the original design was something totally different, but how it was meant to be used is, you know, it was meant to be a connective tool across, you know, many, many miles, right? It was meant to be a connective tool. It still is. It's still a connective tool. Use it that way. So in the last minute here, man, how do people find you? What the last thing they need to know to make sure that they can start moving forward, you know, with a CCO?
You can email me, jaltman@beltway.media.com. You could go to our website, beltway.media.com. What you need to just be thinking about to get your chief communications officer is, does it make sense for me to keep doing this myself? do we have someone, and if you're not doing it all yourself, if you have, say, a social media specialist in your organization, does it make sense for me to be the person managing the social media specialist as the CEO? Because is that the best use of my time? If the answer to those is no, then you need that fractional CCO to come in and help you. And again, it could be 5 hours a month. It could be 20 hours a week. It really does scale with your business.
Love that. Joshua Altman, Beltway, really appreciate you coming on the show today. As always, guys, like, subscribe, connect, go see Joshua, connect with him as well. Come to the webinar May 13th. Check out the app, do all the things, check out the sponsors. I am Dr. Jake Clendenning on behalf of Michael Labersi and Joshua Altman. It's your turn to disrupt.